So let's begin by setting up our mindset of how we go through by thinking about who we are. And you can follow along on the slides, or you can look in your packet and jot down notes if you want to. But I think that's a great way to start. Most of you grew up with a family who, when you went off to somebody's house, if you were being sent off by your mom or dad, they might have said, "Don't forget who you are." And my mom and dad would say, "You're a Garrett. You're a Garrett." You know, this is how, and that's what Garretts are like. We behave ourselves, so, you know, I don't want to get a bad report about you. So we want to set that up as who we are in terms of moving in on this Bible study. So here's who we are. We are people who enthusiastically and intentionally dwell in the Word. Enthusiastically. Show me your best enthusiastic face. Yeah. Show me your best intentional face. What does that look like? I'm being intentional. I don't know. So that is how we approach the Word. We're people who enthusiastically and intentionally dwell in the Word, and we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. We don't approach it like, if it happens, it happens. We are intentional, and we're excited about it. We're enthusiastic about that, all right? So this is based on Colossians chapter 3, in particular, verse 16. And we're going to talk a lot more about Colossians 3:16 as we go forward tonight. So continuing on page 6, if you have your notes open, we dwell. All right, so we're going to break down Colossians 3:16 in this next section. So we dwell in the Word, and we let it dwell in us. Okay, so we teach one another from the truth of the Word. All right, so the dwell part you can get, because we like to say in this Bible study that we don't do Bible study. We what?
Dwell.
Exactly. But the teach part can get people going, we teach? We do? Really? I bet you, more than you think. How many of you have ever taught anyone anything, ever? All right, did you ever teach a kid how to tie their shoes?
Yeah.
Okay. So you taught somebody something.
Exactly.
Wipe your, all the things. Maybe at work you had the opportunity at your work to onboard someone and train them and teach them how things work at your job. You teach someone, all right? So I vocationally am a teacher. I've been a school teacher, and now I teach the Bible. So you might think, well, that's what teaching is. But that's not what Scripture necessarily says in that regard. We dwell in the Word, we let it dwell in us richly, and then we teach one another from the truth of the Word. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. So I want you to see it in the Word, Colossians 3, 16. And if you would like to, you might want to read all of Colossians, because it's so short, it's such a good one. Philippians, by the way, another short, awesome, you could read that on your way home. Well, don't maybe read it on your way home, but you could listen to it on your way home. It's 10 minutes to get through Philippians. And we're going to go through it multiple times in this semester together. And then, so now you're in Colossians. You're in Colossians chapter 3, and we're in verse 16. And you can see that I'm breaking down that verse to talk to us about who we are. We dwell in the Word, and we let it dwell in us, and then we teach one another from the truth of the Word. All right? Next is admonish. We admonish one another, counseling in wisdom. All right. So if you're like me and you read a word like admonish, you might be a little nervous. Maybe you picture going into the principal's office and having someone point their finger at you, right? Admonishing you. All right. So I want you to shift your thinking about what it means to admonish. So admonish isn't necessarily going at somebody with your finger out, pointing like this at them. Admonishing is correcting them with wise counsel, because you don't want them on the wrong path. So for example, if you're hiking with somebody, and they're up ahead of you a little bit, you might admonish them, "Oh no, don't go that way. You know, I've taken this path before. That one, you will end up with a lot of stickers and prickers in your pants, whatever. Go this way. They groom the trail better. And so you'll be better on this path." That's admonishing. And you're doing it based on truth. You're doing it based on wise counsel, right? And we do the same thing in our walk with faith. When you are in God's Word and God's Word's in you, then you can teach someone, and then you could admonish them. You could help them stay with wise counsel on the right path. As a result of that, you erupt and you can't help but sing. and it just comes up and out of you. And this verse right here in Colossians 3:16 talks about that. It says that we sing with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and it just naturally comes up and out of you. I mean, if you've experienced this before, when somebody says a word or phrase, it triggers a popular song in your mind, and you just kind of end up singing that song along, right? Maybe a commercial, a jingle from a commercial pops into your head, and then you just end up singing it in front of somebody, and if they don't know the commercial, they're like, what are you even doing? So in the olden days, my parents would sing some song about like some product you would put in your hair, and then they would say a little dab. There you go. I knew someone would finish that for me. A little dab will do ya. And it's so embedded in you, you can't help. So for example, this isn't a song, but it's the same idea. And let's see if I can do it. And you finish it for me. Done. No one taught you. That's what the response is, but it erupts out of you. You almost can't not do it. Like if we just left it hanging and no one did that, oh my gosh, you couldn't, it would come up and out of you. And so that is what this verse is talking about. It's so natural to have let the word Christ dwell in you. You're teaching, you're admonishing, and you just erupt with a shave and a haircut, two bits. And that's that little song. All right. And then as a result of that, you're so thankful. Because think of all the other types of things that could come out of your mouth. Think of all the other types of thoughts that could be in your head. Think of all the negative worldly things that just bring you down. But because you dwell in the word, let it dwell in you, you teach, admonish one another, you sing, you erupt, you can't help but sing, then you're thankful. You're so thankful, God. You have replaced my heart of stone with a new heart. And I have a new song every day. And like the word tells us that his mercies are new every morning. That's a fresh song I get to sing. And so we are so thankful. And as a result of that, we know that he will be faithful to complete what he began in us. We're confident because we're constantly on that loop in our mind and in our life. And so that is who we are. Continuing on, we're going to talk now about what we expect, okay? And so we want to be clear when you come to Bible study, what that looks like and what our expectations are for this Bible. So this is on page 6. So super simple. We expect Bible-based teaching. And that should go without saying because it's a Bible study. But how many of you have ever gone to a church or a Bible study where you're like, are they going to open the Bible?
Yes.
So you don't ever have to worry about that here. We're going to be in the Word. We expect Bible-based teaching. We are not here for worldly solutions. I got a lot of that. I can go anywhere on TikTok or the YouTube or the Instagrams, and I can get all sorts of that. I come here, I want Bible-based solutions. I don't want worldly messages. And we also expect faith-strengthening studies that equip us as disciples so that we can disciple others. In other words, we're not here to be told the same lie about ourselves. I'm already pretty good about that. I want my faith strengthened. I don't want my ego strengthened. I don't need to continue to believe how good I am. We might have a problem on either direction of that, but faith strengthens us up in the right way. And so we have an expectation that we're going to come here and we're going to get strengthened in our faith so we don't continue on in things that aren't true about ourselves. Because we can be equipped so that we can equip others to do the same thing. You want healthy relationships in your life? You're going to get them if you're in the Word and you're being strengthened in your faith. And so we gather together so that we can do that in community. There's lots of great clubs out there you could join. You can join a bingo group. You can join a bunko group. Bongo groups are probably available. Bingo, bongo, bongo, all the things. Those are all fun. And you could have a social club. You could have a charitable club that you go to. This is not that. This is a community building gathering, and it's centered on God's word. So that's what you can come to expect. And then you might not expect this, but we like to have fun. We have actual real joy. We have true peace. We have carefree hope because we know God's got this. And as a result of that, we have a lot of fun. We laugh. We get along, we're silly, and we just have joy in our hearts. We have fun because we know that God brings us true joy in our life, and we're delighted that we get to dwell in his word. So we also expect that we're going to learn a ton. We have fun and we learn a ton. So we are ready to learn and we know we're going to, we expect it. And so it kind of goes without saying, if you're learning something, it means you didn't know it. And so that means you're going to connect the dots between, I didn't know that and now I do. And the space in between. So put your right hand out like this. And that's where you are right now. Put your left hand out and you don't even know what's over there right now. But you're going to get from here to there. And the space in between is you learning something. Like you go to a gym. Have you ever been to a gym and see those ridiculous equipment machines? And you're like, I wouldn't even know how to sit on that. Where would I put my feet? I'm going to make a complete fool of myself. And someone's going to catch it on video and then it'll go viral. So no, you would need someone to show you, like, where do I even put my feet? And then someone teaches you, and so you learn. You went from here to, I don't understand this, to here. And now I understand, and then you're the one that gets to teach somebody else. So we come expecting to learn, not that we all have it all figured out. And so as a result, we come expecting we're probably going to get stuck at some point. We're going to be in the Word, we're going to read something, and we're going to think, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what that means. And we are going to expect that. Maybe you remember in the Gospels when Jesus teaches his disciples and he tells them a parable and they look at him like he has two heads. I have no idea. And they say things like, we have no idea what you're talking about, Lord. And it feels like we should, because you're Jesus. We already declared you the Messiah. And now we feel like we should be understanding. And he's like, you're going to understand. The Holy Spirit's going to come and you're totally going to get this. But right in that moment, they got stuck. And you know what Jesus did? He let them stay stuck. He didn't come in with a magic Jesus wand or a shepherd's staff and tap them each on the head and they all of a sudden got knowledge. He let them go through the stuck process. And I think that's a really important reminder for all of us, because I feel like there's times when we get stuck and we think, I'm probably the only one. We might think, gosh, if I had paid more attention in school, maybe I'd be smarter at this by now. Or if I had listened better to Pastor Joe, I'd get this better by now, right? So give yourself the permission to get stuck. If Jesus' own disciples did face to face, then how much more could you potentially expect to get stuck? And give yourself that grace. Trust the Holy Spirit to teach you. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And then we also expect to grow from where we are today, your right hand to your left hand. We're going to move. There's an expectation that we are going to grow from where we are today so that we can become empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you said yes to Jesus, he gave you the best gift ever. Best gift ever. What was that? The Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Best gift ever, right? But that doesn't mean that we always walk empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go from you. But we're not always walking in his power. The greatest power ever is the resurrection power that you do have inside of you. But we don't always live like that. I know you don't, because you know I don't. We see each other in real life. We can tell, right? But we expect that we will grow so that we can become more empowered by the Holy Spirit that does live within us. And that's a great hope and a great reminder that we have that. So how do we approach this study? This is on page 7. Super simple. We read and we listen. We read and we listen. Lather, rinse, repeat. We just keep doing that. We read and we listen. Okay. So we also use a printed Bible. You might have an online Bible. I use an online Bible. I used one tonight when I was double checking a verse. But when we're actually in the Bible and we're studying, and when we come to Bible study, we want to have our physical Bible with us so that we have that routine of carrying the Word of God with us and being familiar with it. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then you might think, okay, well then which Bible should I make sure I have? You want to make sure you are using a translation and not a paraphrase. So I brought both of them for you. This is the Living Bible. It is literally says for our convenience, paraphrase. It's an actual paraphrase of the Bible, and it's great. It gives you clarity. It helps you when you're not quite sure you understand because someone took it and kind of rewrote it. And then all of you, I can see, have some type of an actual translation that's just word for word, pretty close to what the Greek was or Hebrew was saying. And so that would look like a Bible like this. This is the English Standard Version of the Bible. I have this one here, and you can look at your neighbor right and left, and we all have NIV or NET or some type of a Bible. So here are those Bibles listed for you. And any of these are great translations, ESV, NIV, CSB, NET, a lot of initials. But there's a lot out there that are great. If you're not sure and you want to double check that you have a good Bible, talk to your grace group leader or someone else sitting next to you or me, and we'll help you make sure you have that. And we have Bibles here for you. If you need a Bible, we can send you home with a good Bible. Take notes. Take notes in your Bible. Take notes in your handout as we go through, and get in that rhythm of taking some notes. And then use colored pencils. You can come up and check out my Bible. I've talked to you before about this, but using that Pentel 8, which is a colored pencil that has eight colored pencils inside of it. So you're only carrying around one tool, and I love that. And I was online looking for different highlighters recently, and my goodness, they have so many cool colors, like super Vogue and in-style colors, and mine are just like boring yellow and boring blue. So, but color code and find a way to get into your Bible and use colored pencils to mark in that. Page 7, trust the process. So as we move, we recognize that we are in a process, and so we are going to expect growth and we're going to expect setbacks, just normal. And again, I want to talk to those of you who feel frustrated or disappointed in yourself sometimes, that you don't feel like you're as far ahead as you should be. That's not a voice from Jesus. There's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. There's just encouragement. And we need to be maybe moved onto the right path, admonished, but there's no way that you should be down on yourself. You just are where you are, and you're going to expect some growth and probably have some setbacks. So give yourself grace to learn, all right? Just engage with the scriptures. Don't just read them, dwell. Engage, think about it. As you're reading, you could think, who is talking here? Or to whom are they talking, right? So open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, our book that we're studying. And you'll see right at the very beginning, a who and to whom, right at the opening, that will help you. And we see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, two names, who? Do you see it? Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ to who? All the saints. All right. So that's just simple things to make note of as you're reading. And you'll learn to start noticing that even better as you go. Then we want to remember, so important, that the Bible was written for you, for me, for us, but it was not written what? To you. Philippians is a great example of that, because your name is not right there. This was an actual letter. We're reading someone's mail. When we read Philippians, this is someone's mail, okay? So we keep that in mind, and then we enjoy the process, and we have fun, okay? It is a process, and we work to enjoy that. All right, page 8. You've already been in your grace group. So let's go back and revisit what that looks like to be in community with each other in our grace groups. For starters, God's word is our standard, all right? So we're going to just focus on what God's word says and not on anything else that comes in. And it will come in because you've heard great teachers, you've heard great pastors, you've read great books, but we're going to go always back to compare that with God's word. And we remember, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty, there's freedom here. And then in all things, charity or love and grace for each other. So in essentials, unity. So who can think of an absolute essential that we would, as Christians, say, there's no debating this, this is an essential?
Resurrection.
Resurrection. Did Jesus rise from the dead, yes or no? Amen. Yes. So when we talk about God and his word, that's not up for debate. That's what the word of God says. Non-essentials. We have freedom. We have liberty. Someone might have a very strong opinion about if women should be in a dress or pants. Still to this day, I know we're in Southern California, maybe not so much, but maybe there are people who still feel like that's not a good witness. You shouldn't be wearing pants if you're a lady or whatever. Is that an essential?
No.
No. So it's non-essential. So we're going to have some freedom, with some wiggle room in there. Okay. And then in everything you do, whether it's an essential or not essential, just have charity for each other. That means love and grace kind of combined into one thing, charity. Do your own thinking. Okay. So do your own thinking is be careful. You might have a great Bible with commentary notes inside of it, but don't use those notes while you're learning. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, and then go to those commentary notes on another time. But build your trust in God. All right? And you can pray and you can ask for wisdom. God would love to give you more wisdom as you get into that. Be gracious and patient with yourself and with others. This is so important because, again, we have this tendency to think that we could be gracious with other people. Of course, we wouldn't be unkind to them. We could be patient with other people. But then we might say to ourselves, oh, why did I do that? I can't believe, you know. So let yourself have some grace too. Be patient with yourself and let yourself grow. We remember the thumbs up and thumbs down that this is a Bible study. There's going to be right and wrong answers. In other words, Jesus did rise from the dead. That's right. And so we don't debate things that are in God's word. All right. So we're going to, again, keep everything tight and aligned with God's word. And our grace groups, you can share or you can just listen. All right. So you don't have to share, but if you did the reading for that week and you did respond to that prompt, you've already done the work there, share. I bet you have something really interesting to say. If you didn't do the work on that question, it might be tempting to bop in with an idea or a thought you have, but wait until if there's time on that one. If you didn't end up doing the question, allow the people who did do the question to share, and then if there's time, ask your group leader and say, I didn't do this one, but I have a question or I have a thought about it. Do we have time? So that speaks to this. If you, whatever you do, come. Done or not done, come. Doesn't matter. Just show up. You're going to be a blessing to someone else, and they're going to be a blessing to you. So never listen to that voice in your head like, I don't think, I didn't do it, I shouldn't come, don't do that, all right? So if you didn't finish it, you're fine. Just show up and be good and try to come. But be considerate of time and be considerate of your tone and how long you take to answer a question. Pray. Pray as you get out of the car. Pray on your way here. Pray as you walk in the door. Pray for one another. Pray for your group leaders. They are here to guide and nourish and provide a great flow for the evening. And they have a lot on their plate too. So be mindful to pray. Pray for me. I'm still dealing with that headache issue that I've been dealing with off and on. And after a full day of teaching like this, I usually go home and need like a full day of quiet so my brain and my head can recover. So pray for me that God gives me answers and relief from this. So, but let's be in a spirit of prayer as we approach our study together. Okay, the plan is super simple. So turn to page 9. Super simple. It's to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the plan. There it is. I've written it so that there's a pattern and there's a predictability. There's a rhythm to it. So every day has a start and finish is essentially the same. And so it helps you to move into that rhythm. My goal is to help us all develop the spiritual disciplines that we would become equipped to know God's word and to actually deepen our faith through those spiritual disciplines. So I want you to know two things. I want you to know, number one, that you have an advocate. Never, ever forget that Jesus is your advocate. You can look to your right and you can look to your left and you can know the people in this room are advocating for you as well. But Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit is your ultimate advocate. He is praying for you. And listen to what he said, his words in John 17. I do not ask for these only, this is Jesus saying, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus is talking about me and you. We believe through their word. Who is that? The disciples. The disciples went on to be missionaries and spread the gospel across the world. And as a result, you're here today. In Hebrews 4, we read, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He always is there, constantly asking the Father to teach you, to guide you. And so know that you have Jesus as your advocate. And we know in 1 John 2, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and he's the righteous one. So we don't have condemnation in Christ Jesus. We have an advocate in Christ Jesus because of what he accomplished for us. So know that. So you have two things to know. Number one is you have an advocate. And number two is you have an enemy. mean, it's like the other side of that coin in a sense. But Satan is seeking to destroy. We know that. We saw that in plain evil view today in the news, of course. But we have an adversary as a devil who prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's seeking someone to devour. And he's the accuser of our brothers. But he, in Revelation 12, has been thrown down, the one who accuses them day and night before our God. We know the end of the story. He's our accuser now, but his story ends, and we have an advocate. So page 9, we're going to move into there, and there's 4 P's. This is just a simple way to think of all of this with 4 P words. So number 1 is pray. This is so, so great. As you begin your study, don't forget to pray. If you want a big fat yes as an answer to a prayer, ask this prayer. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who drips it out every now and then if you've been really good that day. No. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who does what? Gives generously, right, to all. And the verse goes on to say, without finding fault. In other words, he doesn't give you generously and say, you better do it right this time. Just ask for wisdom when you're stumped. So start your time in the Word with prayer. If you jump right into the Word and you forgot to pray, hit the brakes and hit your knees and pray. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So that is when you are in the Word, you have great power to understand and grow in the Word. And praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication from Ephesians 6:18. Pray, pray, pray. Don't skip that. We get a lot of on to-do list. I want to finish this and, you know, mark it off and be done. And that's great. I love that, goal-oriented. But don't hop over prayer. Make that the first thing that you do. The next P is partner. So that's connecting. So look to your right. Partner. Look to your left. Look behind you. We're partners in here. So connect with your group, connect for encouragement, connect for accountability. In John 17, verse 23, we read, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, right? So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That kind of unity is what God has for us together. And then in Hebrews 3, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort each other. You got this. Come on. Come to study, or let's study together, or whatever it is. So we're there for each other, and we consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. The next P is plan. So you want to plan now for the time that you're going to spend in Bible study. How many of you already have a really full schedule? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so unless you make a plan, it's not going to magically open up your Google calendar where the space says, here's where you can put Bible study. You have to think ahead right now, like, oh, wow, I already have a really busy schedule, right? Where is this going to fit in? I'm going to need to make time for that. I already have a job. I have family commitments. I have all these things. So plan now for the time that you'll spend in Bible study. It's not just going to happen. Proverbs 16 is a great reminder here. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. But how the Lord wants this to happen. He wants you to succeed in this. So take the time now, and maybe take the time to ask for extra accountability from your grace group leader or a buddy in the group. Say, you know what? This is the year I'm going to move forward in Bible study in a different way, or first time I've ever done Bible study, I'm going to need help. I'm going to ask you for accountability and help in that. The next and the final P is prioritize. So we can plan, but if it's not a priority, something's going to kick it. Right? So right now, my guess would be most of you in this room, I think all of you, to some degree, would prioritize your health in some area. Maybe you do things, take your vitamins, have your protein drinks, right? You prioritize that. You make it a priority. Well, guess what? Your spiritual health is even more valuable. And the Word of God tells us to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, so that you can rightly handle the Word of truth and not be ashamed. So in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God's already got the plan laid out for you. Step into that with excitement and anticipation for that, and keep this as your priority. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Everything you're worried about, all the other things, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness in Matthew 6:33. So the Dwelling Richly way is not just about doing Bible study on page 10. It is about letting the word of Christ what? Dwell in us richly. So we don't do, we dwell. And then we return the favor by dwelling in the word. And this Bible study I've written for you, it has that day-to-day rhythm. Day one is today. That's where we get together in fellowship. And in 2 weeks, we're going to come together. It'll be the other day one, right? So right now is day one. Tomorrow, or whatever day you set up on your schedule, is day two. Generally, that's a big overview of whatever passage we're covering. And then days 3 through 9 are going to be a deeper dive into. Now, we culminate at the end with day 10, which is a create and share day, where you take what you've been studying and you bring it out and into life in some way. And last few studies, we've done a lot of different things. We've taken nature walks before. You go out in nature with what God has taught you and you pick up something to help you remember. We made food. Remember the Exodus study? And we made matzah. So we might draw a picture. We might write a poem. We might take a picture. I try to think of things that seem natural, a way to express something that we've learned. That's always day 10. And then those middays are the days where you're going to be diving more deeply into the word. Now, this particular lesson you're going to start is all you're going to do is read Philippians start to finish. Now, again, it takes 10 minutes. So so you are what I've done with this one is I've written it out so you have a little bit of each day on a background of Philippians, how Paul met these people. We're going to talk about that. You're going to read Galatians. You're going to read Acts. And then I found a psalm that pairs well with Philippians. So you're going to read all of Philippians and a psalm during the next two weeks of doing the study together. So the spiritual disciplines that you're going to go through every day at the top of each lesson has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Pray, memorize, write. Read, just read something, engage with it, and then do something creative and share it. So it just is that rhythm that helps you to move through the word. So at this point, you can jump over to page 16. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about what dwelling richly is and what it isn't. And here's the big idea. This is on page 16, a blank page for you to take notes. We come to Scripture first with our priority and foremost to know God. We come to find God. And we make sure we have our mind set on this. And we ask as we're in the Word, what does this teach me about you, God? And we avoid the trap of going to the Bible for a quick fix. The Bible is not an Advil. The Bible is not your pain relief patch. Does it provide relief? Of course. Does it soothe as a balm does? Of course. But our first priority is to find God there, and then the rest will come. So we come to the Scripture first to know God. We think, what is your plan? Help me see your love here. What is your will here? What are you like in your ways and how you do things? And we have that as our mindset. And then that is how we come to know ourselves better. And if we flip it, we start having problems. That flips the whole script. And we come at a very self-centered approach. The same thing happens with any relationship you're in. If you're moving in on a relationship to get to know someone better and you're making the whole thing about what you can get out of it, that's a one-sided relationship that falls apart. So treat God in that same way. Come to know Him better. And that temptation, of course, is to flip that around. What do I need to fix? How can I get a quick fix out of, you know, this study or whatever? Just relax that and trust God that if you put the priority on Him, He will help you. And so to help us to do that, we are going to think through three ways of making sure we're doing that. So simple. The first is observe, or observation. We just open up the Bible and we literally look at the words. Well, what does it say? We slow down. We pay attention. We ask, who's speaking or writing? Who's hearing this or reading it? What's happening here? We look at the actual words that are on the paper. So if you're still in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, we'll go back to that and we read. I can read these words. I can read Paul's name and Timothy's name, and those are just words. And I'm just observing, oh, I got this guy named Paul. Maybe I know what he's about. Maybe I don't. And then I got this other guy, Timothy. That sounds familiar. Write that down. They're servants. Who are they? Servants of? Oh, they're servants of Christ Jesus. What does that look like? You know, so we think like that. We make some simple observations of basic words. And then we ask an interpretive question. I see what it says, but what does it mean? So I see Paul. If I know who he was and I know now who he is, I'm going to understand what that means, right? How many of you have heard someone's incredible life-changing testimony? And you had no idea. And you listen to them give their testimony and you think, holy moly, I would never have guessed that. Doesn't that change the way you perceive that person when you know their story, right? That allows you to interpret then that person. They're not just flat on the page a name. Now you understand them better. So that's what we do in the Word as well. And then is when we apply it. That's when we ask, well, okay, then what does this mean for me now, right? How will I live in light of this truth that I just read here? We ask that last. Okay? So we notice the order. God first, then us. Application grows out of knowing God. All right? So let me give you an illustration that I think will stick with you. And if you like this slide, wait till you see the next one. You're going to really want to take a picture of it. Isn't that cute? A little froggy frog. So if you wanted to learn about frogs, you could go to the library. Do people still go to the library?
Yes.
They do? Oh, okay. We have a library card. Oh, may have cards still. Okay. Probably, more likely, you will just Google it. All right? Like, the life of frogs. Hey, Google, tell me about frogs. All right, so you probably get a little summary, maybe from a frog expert, Wikipedia, whatever you're using. But how would you know if that expert really gave you the full picture? You wouldn't, not really. But on the other hand, if you actually went to a pond, right, and you sat there with a notebook and you started observing frogs for yourself, you're hearing them. You're smelling the air around you. You're feeling, if you take off your shoes, you're feeling the earth beneath your feet. You're hearing the water. And that ends up looking like this. If you go out there, say it's a Saturday morning, Saturday evening, it's dawn or dusk. You find a little quiet spot near the little cattails at the edge of a pond or something. It's calm. There's these little ripples, maybe some dragonflies buzzing around, skimming across the surface. And after a few minutes of sitting still, you notice this frog, right? He's small and he's green. He's almost blending in perfectly with the moss. He sat half in and he sat half out of the water. He's keeping one eye on the land and one eye on the pond. And soon the frog hopped onto another rock. It doesn't croak, not at first, right? But then the ribbits start, and then another ribbit, and then another ribbit. And you watch frogs lunge suddenly and slap up a fly. Whoa, you're writing it in your journal. Right? And they're so precise. You're like, what the, how is that tongue getting that fly? Right? If I tried all day, I would never be able to catch a fly with my tongue. Not that I would want to. So you sit and you notice and you breathe it all in. You didn't just do an observation. What were you doing? You were dwelling. You were letting it dwell in you. Right? And you start noticing preferences that frogs have for things. And you make a note in your journal and you write down those observations. It's a little more effort there, but the payoff and the story you have to tell someone because you were immersed in that moment and you can relate to someone. No one could care about you Googling something about a frog. But when you tell them that you went to the pond and you come back smelling like moss and frog slime, right? That makes all the difference, and it changes everything for you. You've experienced frog life. I want that for all of us in God's Word. I don't want just Google facts about the Bible. I want us to be immersed and to feel it come to life. And the Holy Spirit will help you make that happen. So I want to share a simple little prayer. And this is one of those that you'll bring your cameras out and write down. I found this to be just so sweet, and it rhymes. Who wouldn't love a rhyming little prayer? Give me insight, Lord, as I read your word today, so I will truly understand your message and your way. Isn't that simple? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. That's our posture. We're humble. We're teachable. We're ready to listen to the ribbit and the ripples and the dragonflies that come up and off the page into our heart and our mind, because we don't just do Bible study. We let it dwell in us, and we dwell as well. So don't rush to answers and application and the quick fix for your day. Take a deep breath. In fact, everyone take a deep breath right now. Breathe it in and slow down and get to know God. Get to know His Word. And then you'll be, when you come back to a book of the Bible, you'll feel like you're visiting an old friend. And that's what it means to dwell richly in God's Word. And I promise you, if you will lean in with this idea, with prayer, with expectation, with joy, and humility and excitement before God, I promise you, that's the heart of Colossians 3:16, and that's what you'll be able to experience as well. So would you read this aloud with me? I have it on the screen. Let's just read Colossians 3:16 together. Ready? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Right? Knowing that when we dwell, we don't just do, we let the word of Christ dwell. It's an invitation. Lord, dwell. Let it come into me. I'm not just here to get something accomplished. I'm here to be with you, to dwell in your word. And as you enter into Philippians with that mindset, you're going to come back here in 2 weeks, like I said, having read all of Philippians and several other passages in the Bible. And I pray that you will have experienced that rhythm to your day, a shift as you move into the season. And it's busy. I know it is. You've got a lot going on in your life. But I pray that you will experience that time with God. We call this twig time, time with God, and that you'll think of it like this, being out there and experiencing the Word of God. And we did this years ago, where I actually had you each get a twig and think about that twig in terms of your time with God. And maybe that's what you'll do this time as well. So let's begin our journey together in God's Word, knowing He's faithful. Knowing He will answer yes with the question that you have. God, will you give me wisdom here? Yes, I totally will. I've been waiting for you to ask, you know, right? So joy, steadiness, that's what we're looking forward to bringing out of Philippians. And we come back together in 2 weeks. We are going to begin really diving in, and we're going to do kind of a how to study the Bible part two. This is the big picture how, and then next time we'll get together and we're going to really move in on Philippians especially. Let's close in prayer and thank God and with joy and anticipation for this wonderful Bible study that we have ahead of us. Heavenly Father, we do this.